Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So you'll see another nativity set here, because our sermon series for this for our midweek service sermons is going to be looking at the nativity, and specifically at the animals. And so look inside the stable. What do you see? A brown cow stands close by to where the newborn Jesus now lies, or stands on my pulpit. The irony of our Old Testament reading is not to be lost on anyone. The people are at the base of the mountain of God, constructing and worshiping an idol, declaring that this golden calf is the one who brought them up out of Egypt. All the while, Moses is on the top of the mountain receiving the law from God. And chief among those laws is quite simply, you shall have no other gods. There is perhaps no more ridiculous excuse for sin than the one given by Aaron, that he simply threw the gold into the fire and out came this calf. And yet, there is perhaps no greater foolishness than that of the people who literally hand their gold and precious metals to Aaron and demand that he would make them an idol and call that the thing that brought them out of slavery. But then that is the absurdity of idolatry. The golden calf is quite literally made from the hands of the very people who are now declaring that this golden calf, who a mere 24 hours earlier did not even exist, is the one who brought them out of, brought about their deliverance from slavery. The same people who had seen the plagues sent upon the Egyptians, the same people who had walked through the Red Sea on dry ground, only to see Pharaoh and his army be swallowed up by the sea, are now worshiping this dead and lifeless thing that they have made to their own specifications. Quite the head scratcher. And yet, perhaps, not really that puzzling at all when you compare it to the idols that people bow down and worship today. Is a ball used to play sports really all that different? But I can go to the store and buy as many as I want. Are clothes used to make statements of one's status really all that different when they are discarded at the end of the season? Are electronics used to communicate in a whole host of mediums with others really all that different when they are constantly being upgraded in favor of something better? Are the idols that you and I bow down to really any more reasonable than the one that is crafted by the hands of those who are so eager to bow down and worship it at the foot of Mount Sinai? Look at what an idol is. The people at Sinai have to construct their god themselves. You go to the store and buy yours and then hope they have it in stock, unless they would have to special order it. You have to go out and bring your idol to you. Is there any logic to idolatry at all? Did a golden calf really bring the people of Israel out of slavery? Do sports or clothes or electronics or food, do any of these idols really make your life better or more for more than an hour or two, if that? Of course not. They are all dead, worthless things. You only get as much enjoyment out of the idol as you put into it. The golden calf that stands at the base of Mount Sinai was in no position to lead the people to the promised land. The people are going to have to literally pick it up and carry it. This calf offered no pillar of cloud by day, no pillar of fire by night, let alone the forgiveness of sins. Perhaps the greatest irony of all is that the newborn who now lies in the Bethlehem manger, who seems so helpless, is still more powerful than all these idols combined, times 10. Look at this cow in the nativity scene and let him stand as a reminder that you are completely unworthy of the Savior who lies at the center. For like the children of Israel, you are quick to forget the Lord your God who called you in the waters of baptism, the first chance you get. And yet the God who comes to you in Bethlehem's manger is not just another dead and lifeless God. This is the living and active God, a God who hears the cries of his people both in turmoil and in exaltation. This is a living and active God who cares when you cast him aside in favor of the next game, or the next toy, or the next gadget, or the next bit of gossip. This is a God who is a jealous God, desiring you only for himself. This child who now lies in the manger existed before time began, and he has come in human flesh to suffer and die for your sin of bowing down to idols. For your idols, my idols, whatever they may be, they do not care for us or for our salvation. But this one who now lies in the cow's manger box does care. He cares so much that he has left the right hand of the throne of God to come to earth, where he will suffer real pain and real death so that you might live. What idol has ever done that? None of them. Yet at the name of Jesus, all things and all people and all creation will fall down and worship this Jesus. Even the demons who seek to lead us astray into idolatry recognize that this is the true and living God. This is the God who has brought his people out of slavery in Egypt here to Mount Sinai. This is the God who has called you out of the slavery of your sin in the waters of holy baptism. This living and active God has called you to be his own and to live under him in his kingdom for all time. This child in the manger box has come to redeem sinners. He has come to redeem you. He has come not because you picked him up and carried him, nor has he come because you ordered him to do so. He has come out of his great love for you, a living and active God with a living and active love who saves you now. Look in the stable. There he is lying in the manger for you and for me. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.